remember the first bet, the first flutter?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, just got tips for three horses in 3 weeks and they all won. So, yeah, how easy is this?
Did you grow up in a family where gambling was seen as a pastime?
No, no.
So it was just a casual social thing at first, Dave?
At first, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think was at play? What drew you to it? That it was fun? That it was easy money?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I've seen at the first. But eventually it got the better of me and I had to bet on more races and they just, yeah, they just took over my life.
So this was horse racing at first, Dave?
At first, yeah.
Was it just fun? Did something else happen when you laid the bet? What was the feeling like when you were making the bet?
Oh, as time went on and I got more into it, it was a sort of it's just a great feeling, like being part of the race and your horse is coming up in a close finish and you just, your head goes into sort of euphoric stage, you know, and then you've got the winner, and if you get beat in a close finish, you just go really down. You know, it's just a really big adrenaline rush, and that's how it was for me for years and years.
And what happened when you didn't win? What were the physical and emotional responses when you had emptied your pockets and realised that you had nothing left at the end of a day at the races?
Devastating. Devastating. Yeah, just a really empty, hollow feeling, and sometimes you'd get sick from it, get headaches, and yeah.
How long did that bit of fun, that flutter on the GGs, how long did that take to turn into an addiction? When did you realise you were starting to develop a problem?
Well, in first three bets, I would have been about probably 16, 17, something like that, and would have been in my early 20s when I was moved into Sydney and didn't have any sort of friends or people I can hang with there, and I just sort of started going to the races or started going to any spare time, you know, from work. I'd be sitting in tabs and it just become, you know, all-consuming then.
And how big did the problem become? What sort of impact did it have on your life?
Oh, I didn't have any friends. I didn't have relationships. I think I was 28. I had my first suicide attempt and then another one about 5 or 6 years after. It just gradually got worse and worse.
Dave, did you have anyone supporting you? Did you have friendships or relationships during this?
No, none. I got a lot of people that I did know through work and that, you know, knew that I was a very, very heavy gambler because at lunchtimes I'd be at the pubs or the tabs. And, it wasn't back then. It wasn't sort of seen as an addiction, I suppose, and no one really knew. I was hiding it all to myself.
How did you rationalise that in your head alongside the gambling? Did you acknowledge to yourself that you were missing out on something human and important and basic by missing out on friendships and relationships because of the gambling?
I think I just seen that as that was going to be my life. And that was it. I couldn't see past that. I didn't know how anyone else was sort of living.
Mm-hmm. And so no long-term relationships of any kind, Dave? No partners, no children?
Oh, the odd relationship here and there. No children, no marriages, anything like that. Never stayed in one place long enough, really.
So what happened to the partners with whom you were involved? How did they respond when they realised the extent of the gambling in your life?
Well, there was one that I was engaged to, and I talked her into taking out a loan for me so that I can gamble. I told her it was for a different reason. But, I gambled the loan away and we ended up splitting up. And another one years later I stole from or in the relationship so I could keep gambling and pay debts and then gamble some more. But since stopping gambling, I've got in contact again with the last one and we get on really well. Yeah, she knows it wasn't really me, it was the addiction.
I'm really glad to hear that there's been something salvaged there.
Dave,
tell me about the pokies, because I know this started with the horses, but then at its culmination it was the poker machines, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. probably about 16 years ago. I used to gamble on pokies every now and then, just as a social thing. It was no problem for me. That was when it was the one-armed bandits. It was no problem for me to put $10 in or $5 in, maybe with some mates, and then walk away. But about 16 years ago, something happened with a particular poker machine, and it just drew me in. And from there on in, for 7 years, that's all I gambled on, because I could get in, play the pokies at any time of the morning, and I'd soon put every cent I had in it, and then I wouldn't have any money left to gamble on other activities.
Was the buzz with them different by comparison with the horses? Did it feel different?
It was completely different. Like I say, the horses, it was a, and dogs and that, it was a sort of euphoric state where you're actually in the race with them, and not a normal state at all. But with the pokies, it was just like, I just felt like a zombie. I could just sit there, play and be unaware of anything going on around me. I wouldn't talk to anyone. Very, very individual thing.
So in a sense, what you're doing with the horses and the dogs is getting off on the adrenaline and the excitement of being in that world, whereas with the pokies, it's going into a zone.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. What steps did you take to get over the addiction?
I started a long time ago. I don't know what the attraction was in the first place, but I went to the first Gamblers Anonymous meeting maybe over 20 years ago, but I only went to the one meeting, and then a few years later I went to a few more, and I think basically I didn't see myself as having a problem. And like I said, I thought it was just that was my life, that was how I was supposed to live it. And I just kept going every now and then to Gamblers Anonymous, and I guess over time things started to sink in, and until I started going on a regular basis, and everything changed.
And it sounds as if, Dave, you weren't necessarily fully committed at the beginning to ending the addiction. It sounds to me as if you wanted to go on living as you were, just without losing all the money. Is that a fair call?
That's very true. Yeah, there's knowing my state now, I know that for me not to gamble again, I've got to keep going to Gamblers Anonymous meetings. But back then, yeah, I suppose I just wanted to keep gambling. I just wanted to maybe stop for a while until I'd maybe saved enough to go on a big binge, but that's why it was.
So how long have you been clean now, Dave?
Oh, I've just over 9.5 years.
Okay, and do you feel that you're cured, or that you'll always be a gambling addict, just one that doesn't spend the money anymore?
I'm always be a compulsive gambler, but just at the moment I'm not gambling, and it's as they say, it's a day at a time. Just work on yourself day by day, and never say never, because that could build me pride up and fall over.
Dave, thank you for sharing the story with us. It's been really interesting to hear what you've got to say on this. And I thank you very much indeed for taking us through what's obviously been a pretty harrowing experience in your life. But thank you very much for your time.
It's all right. Could I just tell you the website for Gamblers Anonymous?
Sure.
And the phone number for Gamblers Anonymous?
That'd be great, yep.
Well, the website is www.gansw.org.au, and the GA line for Sydney is 02972666625.
Okay. Dave, thank you very much indeed for your time. I appreciate it very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.